can't weigh it. I can't make it up. It has to be accurate because he can be a little bit scary. Right. So where do I start? I am completely nervous. And I'm praying that as I stand here, I can empty myself totally. So the Holy Spirit, the living God, will fill me. So what I say will be of him, because I don't want to wrong him. Today is Pentecost. Happy birthday, church. And I have been praying most of the last week, asking the Holy Spirit to just come and do the talking, and not give me a hard time, basically. And my talk is actually going to be reading what the Bible said, and just a tiny little bit of me, so bear with me. I'm going to read from Acts 2, verse 1 to 13. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what looked like tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heavens. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own tongue. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then, how is it that each of us can hear them speak in our native language? I'm not going to read all the list of languages. Arabs could hear themselves. Cretans could hear their languages. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had had too much to drink. Now, most people only know Pentecost as a Christian holiday, where we commemorate the day when the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles as they gathered together in the upper room after the ascension of Jesus. And as I just read, Acts 2 actually tells us that Jews from many other nations were in Jerusalem that day, and they had come to celebrate a Jewish feast of Pentecost. It had absolutely, most of the people didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and they had come to do their traditional celebration. It is true that Pentecost is originally a Jewish holiday. It is one of the great feasts, along with Passover and Tabernacles and other Jewish festivals that I don't know. It has a historical significance as it commemorates the day that Moses received the Torah and came down from Mount Sinai. It also commemorates the time when the first fruits of the wheat harvest was brought to the temple in the form of leavened bread. In Leviticus 23, it reads, from wherever you live, bring two loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits of the Lord. The idea that people had gathered together to celebrate a harvest ties in perfectly with the fact that the great harvest on the day of Pentecost. The new covenant was put in effect in full force on that day. I'm going to read a few scriptures because before Christ died, he had said he was going to leave a comforter. He had said that he was not going to leave his people alone. In John 14, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." We all need advocates, but the Holy Spirit is the ultimate advocate. Pentecost was really the first of the greatest, was the greatest revival. The Holy Spirit was promised us by the Lord Jesus, who loved us so much. But would we, as we sit here, have waited in obedience like his disciples did? In John 16:7 says, "But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you." And I'm sure that the 12 and other people were wondering, who is this advocate? What is he talking about? He's leaving us. We're totally unprotected. We are, you know, he's leaving us the mercies of these Romans who are going to persecute us, and the Jews and the Pharisees and the lot. What is he talking about? But they chose to obey him. And in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, who said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and said, "Lord, are you at this time going to come and restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth," including Hebrews. Jesus was very specific. He asked his disciples to wait. He asked them not to leave Jerusalem until the helper he promised them had come. It is similar, you can compare it to the ancient Israelites when Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. They waited. But unlike the disciples, they were not obedient. They went off and made calves, golden calves, and worshipped them. But they did, it was similar because they waited for the Torah to be brought down, which was to guide the Israelites on how to live. It was the law, and that was the difference. I'm not writing off the Ten Commandments. Christ himself has brought it all in one verse: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself, and that encompasses the whole of the Ten Commandments. Law, that's what. But Lord Jesus left us with grace. Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our GPS, to protect, to direct, to prompt us. At Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit's power was to empower God's people and to send us out. In Acts 1:8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, Hebrews, Accra, South Africa, London, Loughborough, to the ends of the world, Syria, Afghanistan, Nepal, the Holy Spirit equips us to witness, to evangelize. Remember the first day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000. And these were, you know, I'm sure, scared, unsure men who had been through a pretty traumatic days, weeks, where their Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, had been murdered. And he rose again. And I'm sure they all felt, they were elated, they were happy, but they didn't know what was going on. Yes, he died and he's raised again. He said he would come back to life after 3 days. He's come. And then he says he's going. But in all their uncertainty, they were obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. They waited, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the same. We all have access to the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us here. But we have to be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience doesn't mean we become rigid, but we listen to him, we hear his voice, and trust him. Obeying Christ is loving Christ. Loving Christ is obeying Christ. In John 14:16, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." John 14, verse 26. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you about everything I have said." We have an advocate. The Holy Spirit, even though I was very scared and I didn't want to say anything wrong, I just want to be factual, is our friend. He's our advocate. And he teaches us. He teaches us all things. And he's palpable. He's right here. And he reminds us when we forget. And he prompts us. And we have a choice to give him freedom in our lives. We have a choice to allow him, to let him reign, to just trust him. If we tap into the Holy Spirit, when we wake up, even when we don't want to pray and we're tired, if we remember that our Lord Jesus said he was leaving us with our comforter, our advocate. The Holy Spirit as our advocate has a purpose, and his purpose is to make this hard, difficult life, this world that we live in, our fallen, broken world, to make it not necessarily easy, but possible to live. in and do what he wants us to do, which is to go out in his spirit, witness to people, save lives, and bring people back unto our Lord Jesus Christ. In short, a bunch of men, a bunch of scary men, or scared men, sorry, I beg your pardon, scared, unsure men, waited in obedience. I'm sure we can do it too. Waited in obedience in a room somewhere in Jerusalem because they trusted Jesus. They believed he was the Son of God. And actually, like me, they had nowhere else to go. They had no choice but to trust you. It was a bit caught between, they either trusted Jesus or be on their own and be persecuted. They chose to believe. They chose to trust Jesus. And for sure, the promised advocate came as tongues of fire and filled them and empowered them. So they were able to go out and witness and bring people to salvation. And hey presto, the birth of the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's pretty easy, isn't it? We can. I will end by saying the grace. Grace, please come. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. I would humbly like to ask if there's anybody here who hasn't felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, or who has in the past, or who is not sure. This is our opportunity on our birthday, the church birthday of us. We are the church. If we could please stand for just a few minutes, a couple of minutes, and ask the Holy Spirit to please kindly come and fill us anew and refresh us.